League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Who you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. How about this? We're going to call this one tonight the Friday edition. Due to the Dynamo TV and the live game on Wednesday, we moved it to tonight. But the good news is the Dynamo will be in Atlanta. We'll talk about that tonight. MVP guest list here tonight with the following individuals. Mexico manager Juan Carlos Osorio. He's going to join me. He's going to discuss the crowded Mexico schedule, what he did after the crushing Copa Centenario loss to Chile, and his management story. If you remember about Juan Carlos Osorio, he played college soccer at Southern Connecticut State University, went on this amazing odyssey to become now the head coach of Eltre, and wasn't easily recepted and received. But after that U.S. win against the United States in Columbus, Ohio, it seems to be that a few more people have gathered a little bit more comfort with Juan Carlos Osorio. So he'll be on the show tonight. ESPN FC analyst Steve Nichol. Now, he's a Liverpool legend. You might remember him from his time as the manager in Major League Soccer of the New England Revolution. At Liverpool, he won five First Division titles. There was no Premier League at that time. That was the top of the league, the First Division. He played in two European Cup finals. Now, they're very, very different European Cup finals. One was Liverpool defeating Roma in penalties in 1984 in Rome at Roma. He's got some interesting comments on that. But he also was a part the following year of a 1-0 loss to Juventus, where both teams went on the field knowing that 39 fans had been crushed and killed before the game. Remarkably, they had to go play the game. So he's going to talk to you about those two European Cup Finals, which is now called the Champions League. He'll talk about the current Liverpool squad, as well as a slight preview of Real Madrid and Juventus, which will be in the Champions League Final, which, by the way, there's a good party going to happen at Warehouse Live downtown for the Champions League Finals, warehouselive.com. Then we continue on with the ESPN FC theme. Tom Marshall will join us tonight. Tom's going to talk Liga playoffs, who's going to stop Tigres, if anybody. We might even dip into a little bit of fun with the Tuca Ferretti and Miguel Herrera sort of back and forth that recently occurred. We'll talk about the Mexican national team's crowded schedule with friendlies, qualifiers, Gold Cup, Confederations Cup. Then, as I mentioned, we'll switch gears. Dynamo at Atlanta. And what will it take to get done on the road? So we'll go down to Atlanta. We're going to talk with John Nelson, who's a correspondent with Soccer Down Here Daily. He's going to cue us in on some of the things around Atlanta United FC. I also want to ask him about, you know, just the phenomenon that's going on down there. 30,000, you heard me, 30,000 season tickets sold in Atlanta. As well as my partner tonight on the Dynamo Cube broadcast, former Dynamo defender Eddie Robinson. We'll talk about this. This is going to be a very difficult match for the Dynamo on the road. As we saw, Atlanta at Portland showed us something a little bit different. They showed us a team that could control the Portland Timbers in Portland, which you don't see happen very, very often. In fact, they had 70% of the possession in that game. Now, don't sit there because you hear me all the time saying, well, what does that mean? Well, that means you controlled the game. And that means you controlled the game on the road. That means you took out of the game, Diego Valeri. So there's differing ways to look at these analytics and this possession category, which everybody's real quick to throw out. You have to clarify it. The Dynamo recently, yeah, they had more possession against Philadelphia. Woohoo! You know why? Because Philadelphia scored twice in the first half and decided to sit back and defend deeper and concede the ball to the Dynamo. So that's why their numbers were high. The questions we have to ask is, where is this possession? What is done with it? Are chances created? In the case of Atlanta, it might just have been around controlling a game and defanging the Portland Timbers and their tempo up there. And that's what they did. So there you have it. So it's a great rundown of people here tonight on the program. Show is always brought to you by Daspit Law Firm, Liberty Kitchen, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, Bud Light, The Gorgeous Gale, Kings Court, Texas. And then also, again, I just remind you, it's going to be a nice event here, the big screen broadcast of Real Madrid Juventus at the Heineken Champions League final party. Lots of guests down there at Warehouse Live on June 3rd, including Steve Nichol of Liverpool, noon to 6 p.m., English and Spanish broadcast, courtesy of Pepsi Zero Sugar. Two beverages included with ticket price, live DJ performances before and after the game. You can get your tickets and VIP packages available at warehouselive.com. Real Madrid against Juventus. It's a good one. Soccer's here with Heineken. Get your tickets today to that one. All right. So just a reminder on the Dynamo taking on Atlanta United. The pregame show, I believe, starts at 5:30 tomorrow night. So join us for that one. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things going on around the world. La Liga champion is going to be decided on Sunday. Real Madrid and Barcelona are going to play their final games. Real Madrid looks to clinch its 33rd title, but it will be their first, believe it or not, since 2012. They take on Malaga, or a Barcelona loss or draw. So a win or a draw against Malaga, guess what? Galacticos are champions, or Barcelona losing or drawing. The only way that Barcelona can take this title is that they have to win and Real Madrid has to lose. So it's pretty simple. Italy, well, Juventus with a win will become the first team to win six straight Serie A titles. I'm picking them to beat Real Madrid in the Champions League final. I just think they're in perfect form. I think they can suffocate people, yet they also are very dangerous in the attack. It's a great blend of, you know, the traditional Juventus defending side, but it's also very dangerous. They press in different areas of the field. I'm picking Juventus over Real Madrid. I'm sorry. I have to do it. Chelsea's already won the title in the Premier League. Tottenham's already locked up second place. So now it's all about who's going to get that final spot, either Manchester City, Liverpool, and Arsenal. They're fighting for the remaining two Champions League spots. How about Manchester United just basically conceding the Premier League? To me, a big joke. A big joke. And it adds pressure now to their Europa League final against a very young Ajax, which can work in two different ways. A young Ajax might just be numb to the fear and the pressure, or they could succumb to it. Either way, if Manchester United wins this, I guarantee people are going to say it's been a great season for United. Personally, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe because you won a couple things. But as far as the type of soccer being played, it's a loss. It's a negative. Again, the Liga MX semifinals, we're going to talk with Tom Marshall about that of ESPN FC. But Tigres took a 2-0 win last night over Tijuana. And then Guadalajara will go home after a 1-1 draw at Toluca. But Toluca has been a very, very good road team. So keep an eye on that. Chivas is seeking their first Liga MX final appearance, believe this or not, since 2006. Unbelievable how long it has been since they have been to a final. So pretty interesting. A lot of good games on tap in Major League Soccer. Again, the Ajax-Manchester United Europa League final, that's next Thursday on the 24th. You got FIFA Under-20 World Cup beginning, and the U.S. has got a very good team. They go as the champions of CONCACAF under Tab Ramos. May 27th, Arsenal-Chelsea for the FA Cup final. German Cup final between Eintracht Frankfurt and Borussia Dortmund, May 27th. All right, I think it's time for Game On for 90, isn't it?
Game On, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game On.
With Game On for 90. Presented by Bud Light. Game On.
All right, I'm on the clock. This is brought to you by Bud Light. New standards have been raised in Major League Soccer. Now think of this. Saturday, the Dynamo will run into one of them. These are the new breed of MLS teams. Atlanta United, Orlando City, Toronto FC, in the future LAFC. Yes, they are shelling out cash, and yes, they are providing some separation in MLS. Maybe the future is about being a have or a have not. The expenditures are on top players, DPs for these clubs. They're an investment to win games, to separate themselves from the parity pack. Yes, they're spending on players that will win you games. The days of hoping for a set piece to win you a game may not be over, but with the likes of Giovinco, Kaká, Miguel Almirón, and Jozy Altidore, these teams are banking on these players to be the difference, to win you games, and they're willing to pay for it. It's bar-raising. It's exciting. It will continue. And while some are resistant, other owners are not. It will be increasingly difficult for the likes of FC Dallas and the Dynamo, for that matter, to keep up with these clubs. It is going to be a challenge. New England Revolution, I'll throw them in there. The importance of producing your own, though, through player development is going to be intensified as these areas of clubs mature. In the case of Atlanta United, they hired maybe the highest profile manager in league history in Tata Martino, who managed both Argentina and Barcelona. Now, we can go back to Carlos Alberto Pereira, who was at the Metro Stars, who won a World Cup with Brazil. This is a high-profile signing. This is a superstar manager in our league, Tata Martino, and it makes it interesting to see if he can navigate the MLS waters. Now, Atlanta United clearly have spent on young South Americans like Almirón, Josef Martínez, Hector Villalba, and Yamil Assad in the hopes that they grow even more in MLS. These guys are all like 21, 22. And yes, one day, they're going to take a profit on those players if all goes according to plan. And that is a part of their plan. The league is moving forward quickly, competitively. And from the standpoint of challenges that comes with that, to be a have or have not is going to be the question in the future. And that is Game On for 90. All right, Jose, I think we need to take a break here, don't we? All right, so we got a lot coming up here. Lots of great interviews tonight. Juan Carlos Osorio of Mexico, Steve Nichol, the Liverpool legend. Amongst them, Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. And before we go to break here, a very quick reminder for our good friends at the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter what your accident is, they've got you covered. It could be motorcycle, industrial, construction. Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm at DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You don't believe in Harlem World, double up.
We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me, 91. Bet. This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. A couple of things here real quick. There is a great watch party going on for the Real Madrid versus Juventus match. It's the Heineken's Champions League final party. You celebrate with Brian Ching and all-star guests at Warehouse Live on June 3rd from noon to 6 p.m. Well, really, the guest is Steve Nichol, the former Liverpool player who played in the European Cup final, 1-1 at Roma in Italy in 1984. So he's going to be there. Choose between English or Spanish broadcast, courtesy of Pepsi Zero Sugar. Enjoy two beverages included with ticket price, live DJ performances, general admission, all-inclusive VIP packages are available. Go to warehouselive.com. Soccer's here. Get your tickets today. Okay, now we get the best when it comes to Mexico. ESPN FC's Tom Marshall joining us now. Tom, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It's pretty hot down here in Guadalajara, but yeah, just gearing up for a big summer ahead.
Yeah, it's pretty hot with the Mexican League playoffs. Last night I sat through both the Liguilla matches. Tigres getting a win. They look unstoppable to me. Toluca and Chivas. Let's start with Toluca and Chivas. That one was at Toluca. Chivas gets a 1-1 draw. I guess good for them, although people are saying Toluca, when they go on the road, is a very strong team.
Yeah, I think you'd have to put the advantage just about Chivas because they got the away goal, and obviously they finished higher in the regular season as well. So, but this is Chivas. This is one of, you know, possibly North America's biggest club. There's a lot of anticipation here in Guadalajara. There's a lot of expectation. And I think nerves as well. So it's all about, can Chivas now come back to Guadalajara with all this pressure and close against a Toluca team that, you know, like you said, Glenn, they're one of the best on the road this season, but also the most experienced in the Liga MX in terms of, you know, average age. The average age is over 30, so they know they've got the experience of these big games. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I think from the Chivas side, Rodolfo Pizarro's back, came off the bench. Angel Zaldívar's back as well. So massive boost for Chivas there. But, you know, it's going to be unmissable, the game on Sunday.
Now, did you just say, were you talking about Toluca's experience and that's why they're a good road team? Is that the thing you're targeting with them?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. They're just a very balanced team. And you know, Ruben Sambuesa's come back. He's, what, 33, 34 after a long suspension. And he's kind of now, you know, he's the brains of that team. And I think that, you know, I think that's the big thing for Toluca in this game. I think they're a team that can handle the pressure. I mean, tickets are already sold out for Sunday's game in Estadio Chivas. But if there's a team that can handle that, I think it's going to be Toluca.
Interesting. Alfredo Talavera, also 34 years of age and goal. And, I mean, he can still win you a game, right?
100%, yeah. I think he's probably still Mexico's number one keeper. And I think he's the reason Toluca are in the semi-final. I thought he was very good in the second leg of the quarter-final against Santos Laguna. And, you know, they're a decent team. Fernando Uribe is good up front for Toluca as well. But, you know, I think just all around, they're a solid team, Toluca, and it's going to be, there's not much in this game. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Tom Marshall joining us, ESPN FC, everything Liga MX. It's tremendous with his coverage of the Mexican national team. And as you know, tonight we have on Juan Carlos Osorio as well. So it's a great night for Mexican football on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's move on to Tigres and Tijuana. I mean, you know, if I look at all four teams, the only thing to me that stops Tigres, Tom, is Tigres itself.
Yeah, Tigres, I just think of a team that are right now marking a historic point in Mexican football. I think that in 10, 20 years, I think people are going to look back and pinpoint this Tigres team as one of the best that Mexico's first division has ever seen. I mean, you know, the amount of, you've got a Chilean international, Peruvian international, a couple of Argentine internationals, a handful of Mexican internationals. I mean, this is a really, really strong team. And that's in form. I mean, for most of this year, Tigres just couldn't quite click. I think there was a tiredness there. They were playing the CONCACAF Champions League as well, playing midweek and then weekend. I think they were suffering from that. And now, ever since that, they lost the CONCACAF Champions League final. It's just like they've clicked and they've seen, they've focused on this title and they've just honed in. I think it's 16 goals scored now over the last five games and only two conceded. I mean, Tigres are just... I mean, I felt a bit sorry for Tijuana last night. I didn't think they were that bad. But, Tigres didn't even play particularly well, and they could have scored more goals. It could have been more than 2-0.
André-Pierre Gignac, is he the best in CONCACAF in this region?
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's players like, you know, Guido Pizarro, the Tigres holding midfielder. We've seen at Club Tijuana today that Guido Rodriguez, another Argentine holding midfielder, he's just been called up into the Argentina squad for the first time. So there are a lot of good players, but Gignac, I just feel like he's got that slight little extra gear. But when he knows there's a title on the line, when he bangs in a couple of goals, then he just doesn't stop until he's, you know, lifting the silverware.
Celarayan and Aquino getting the goals right before halftime last night. If you watch it, and you're telling us that's a comfortable 2-0 win, and Tigres not even playing close to their normal standard.
Yeah, I think Tigres have got more in the bag. I mean, you know, what can you say about Tigres really anymore? I mean, the only thing that's in Tijuana's favour, I think, on Sunday in the second leg is that, you know, it's an artificial pitch. No away team enjoys playing on that pitch. And, you know, if Tijuana can get an early goal, then you never know. But, you know, you just can't see this Tigres team right now. It's like they've seen destiny and they've seen the title and they know that this is their title. I mean, obviously in this sport anything can happen, but it's just difficult to see a way around Tigres when it comes to this close to the title this season.
All right, so let's go into the spat between Piojo Herrera and Tuca Ferretti, all right? So I guess during the run-up to the game, Ferretti says Herrera is his idol because he's already agreed to become manager of another team, which apparently is being widely reported, and obviously I think that's Club America, right? So Peretti says, Piojo's my idol. He says, suddenly I'm managing one team, then I'm contracted to another. I'd love to know how that's done. And then Herrera comes back and says, Tuca's got Alzheimer's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what was this all about? His egos?
This is all about Piojo Herrera and what happened in Philadelphia Airport when he lost it. He lost it and swung a punch at a journalist and his temper and him still not being able to fully control himself and, you know, control situations. I mean, obviously, this is only verbal, but it's the same. It's the same kind of. It's the same problem that Herrera's got, and that might stop him being a top manager because his teams play really good football. So basically, Tuca Ferretti, on the last Monday before the semi-final, he gives one press conference a week, Ferretti, and he knew what he was doing, and he said that about Herrera, that he's a genius, that he's his idol because, you know, he's managing one team and he's already moving to another and he's already doing the transfers and, you know, everybody knows it. And then Herrera just reacted. Ferretti didn't actually say anything else after that. And then Herrera said, no, you know, he told Ferretti to shut his, snout. shut your mouth. And then he said, you know, Ferretti's got Alzheimer's because, you know, Ferretti's never been fired from a club. So he's saying, how then? And he's never not worked. He's moved from one team to the other consistently since he started coaching, which is remarkable. But he said, how has Ferretti then moved from club to club if he's never been, you know, if he's never kind of, you know, known that he was going to another club and left the club to go to another? So, but, you know, Herrera, after the game, he basically said, I mean, he wasn't using the cleanest language, but he basically said, you know, I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot for rising to this kind of these statements. And, you know, it's my fault. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I shouldn't be being provoked by this. And he's right, but it's too late now because you're 2-0 down.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's interesting between these two managers. So do we expect Herrera to end up back at Club America?
Yeah, 100, I mean, it's, you know, it's widely reported. It just makes complete sense. It looks like his friend is his former assistant, Santiago Baños, who was the sporting director at the national team. It looks like he's going to move over to Club America and be the sporting director there. And then Herrera's going to come in as the manager. So everything's, you know, clicking into place there. And I think Herrera, basically, if you speak to him, I interviewed him a few months ago, and he wants the national team job back. And I think that's his biggest goal. He feels like he's got unfinished business there. And I think he thinks that being with Club America, you know, along with Chivas, Mexico's biggest club, he feels that that's the route back to the national team. I'm not sure if he's kind of misguided with that or not, but that's what he wants to do, and he feels that that's the best way back to El Tri.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, joining us here. I know you're going to be at the Chivas Toluca, the second leg on Sunday, right? So that's going to be exciting for you. Let's switch gears here to the Mexican national team. I mean, this is an incredibly crowded schedule. I don't think there's any question. There's going to be two squads, essentially. What jumps up to you about this? I mean, is there any other manager in the world doing something like this? It's like Juan Carlos Osorio is with Gold Cup, World Cup qualifiers, friendlies, and Confederations Cup.
No, I think the Mexican national team's unique like that. I mean, they're actually, if they get past the group stage in the Confederations Cup and they reach the final in the Gold Cup, both are entirely possible. And they'll play 17 games over the space of 2 months, which I think it works out a game every 3.6 days. So it's a ridiculous schedule in a lot of ways. I mean, I think there's going to be, you know, probably about 50 players involved. But yeah, I mean, the Mexican national team is unique in that sense. I mean, you know, the amount of games the El Tri plays in the States is, I mean, it's a money-making machine. It spends a lot of money for the Federation, and I think that, you know, as long as the Federation is making money, it's gonna continue to happen. But, yeah, I mean, I think the number one is the Confederations Cup. I mean, I think that's where Osorio, and I'm sure you'll say, he feels like he can, you know, cut his teeth. That's the competitive games that he feels this Mexico national team needs. You know, not necessarily the CONCACAF ones where you go away and, yeah, it's difficult. But, you know, real teams, the European champions, Portugal, you know, playing Russia in Russia, perhaps playing Chile and trying to get a little bit of revenge or put that 7-0 to the back of Mexico's mind. I think that's his number one focus. Get the qualifiers out of the way, Honduras in the States, You know, even if you get 4 points out of those games, you're pretty much in Russia 2018. And then move on to the Confederations Cup and let's see how good Osorio's team is now outside of the CONCACAF region.
Yeah, if he gets those 4 points in those two games, that sort of Confederations Cup, it's almost like you're saying, okay, guys, now the real preparation and the next phase of preparation for Russia begins now.
Yeah, and this is the problem with the Mexican national team in terms of the games in the States. I mean, you know, it's great. It's great them playing so many games in a lot of ways. A lot of people get to see the Mexican national team. But they don't play a lot of games that you can say, you know what, this is a really tough test in difficult conditions. And I think that's what Osorio is all about. He repeats it consistently. If this Mexican national team wants to kind of make the jump up from being a good team that everybody in the world respects Mexico, everybody likes the style of play, the technical players, but nobody, I don't think the big nations fear Mexico. And I think that's what Osorio wants to instill into this team. And he feels that Mexico either has to play really competitive games at international level, or the players, more players have to be in Europe to be at the, you know, in elite leagues and elite teams, so they can, you know, that extra 1 or 2% that could benefit the national team so much.
Yeah, he's been consistent with those two things that you mentioned, and I'm glad you brought that up. More players playing over in Europe, and obviously more competition with international team games.
Yeah.
Is he a little bit more accepted? I mean, I know a lot of the people in Mexico do not like the rotation policy. Is he more accepted based on getting that win over the United States in Columbus?
Yeah, I think that win bought him a lot of breathing space, and it was so important for him, because I think that win came where at a time when the 7-0 loss against Chile was still quite fresh. I mean, there was still big question marks. In big games, can Osorio do it? Can his teams do it? And I think not just the result, but the way we got the result, you know, kind of gave him some breathing space. But Glenn, this is the Mexican national team, and you know, you're only one loss really from the critics, you know, really jumping on you again. And you know, like you said, there are a lot of people who don't like the rotation system. There are a lot of people I feel that don't really understand what Juan Carlos Osorio is trying to implement in this team. That still feel that Mexico should, you know, kind of play the same way against every opposition and try and dominate the opposition and, you know, completely overrun them, and that they can pass the way around them and dribble the way around them. And sometimes football isn't like that. And I think Osorio's, what he's brought into this Mexican national team is an element of pragmatism in terms of saying, you know what, if we want to, we're a good team, but sometimes we have to adapt our style depending on the opposition as well. It's almost a bit of more humility, a more humble side to the team. And I think we saw, for example, in Trinidad and Tobago, and it was such an awful game, but Mexico got the result against a tough, physical Trinidadian team that were desperate for a result. And, you know, he played, what was it, two centre-backs and two holding midfielders. I mean, they were reacting to Kenwyn Jones, basically.
Which is unbelievable to think. Which is unbelievable to think.
Yeah. I think that's what Osorio brings compared to someone like Herrera, who will always be right, let's go, charge forward. And I think you see in that game against the Netherlands, in the World Cup, going back to the last World Cup, you know, there's many readings of that game. And I think the one that is in people's mind in Mexico is that, you know, Robin died and then Mexico went out. Whereas really, Mexico were getting absolutely dominated by the end of that game. And I think tactically, Piojo didn't react to what Luis Van Gaal was doing.
You are the best, Tom. We appreciate it. And listen, I know you're having fun covering the Mexican national team in Liga MX because of all this pressure and healthy pressure and craziness that surrounds the team. And I remember Juan Carlos Osorio said, well, Mexico has 111 million coaches. So I'm sure you've heard that one before.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I think he's done really well, Osorio, in terms of handling the pressure, giving out interviews. You know, and I think he knows that if he can, from here to the next World Cup, if he can do a good job at the next World Cup and Mexico reach a quarterfinal or semi-final, then he can move on to much bigger things. And I think that's his mentality. I think he's very ambitious.
Tom, as always, thank you very much. Great insight. We appreciate you joining the show as usual. Enjoy the game between Chivas and Toluca, the second leg of the semifinals in Guadalajara.
Thanks for the invite, Glenn. Always much appreciated.
All right. He's the man. He's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. A quick word here for Liberty Kitchen. They know how to serve up lunch, supper, and brunch. It's modern American comfort food. They've got a lot of staples. Deviled eggs with fried oysters, Dixie fried chicken, Creole gumbo with crab meat, grilled chops, cowboy surfers, po' boys, steaks, ribs, fish. Don't forget the raw bar and oysters, signature cocktails, cold beer. Now you understand why Liberty Kitchen is a regular stop for me. Liberty Kitchen, lunch, supper, and brunch. Locations are in the Heights, River Oaks, Rice Village, Garden Oaks, Treehouse, Memorial City. Also, don't forget, big screen live broadcast of Real Madrid and Juventus, the Champions League final at the Houston Heineken Champions League final party. Celebrate with Steve Nichol, who won the European Cup, which is now the Champions League, with Liverpool. All-star guests at Warehouse Live, June 3rd, noon to 6 p.m. English and Spanish broadcasts, courtesy of Pepsi Zero Sugar. Two beverages included with ticket price, live DJ performance before and after the game. Packages available, warehouselive.com. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters here. A quick moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Doesn't matter whether your accident is car, boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, or 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. They're bilingual. It's DaspitLaw.com. Daspit Law Firm is going to work for you 24-7. Fight for your right for compensation with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Also, let me tell you about Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and in West Ave Shopping. The stylist at Azure Salon keep me looking sharp for all my TV work. Azure Salon is the place to go. Guys, get to Azure Salon. Ladies, they've got you covered as well with color, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com, AzureSalon.com. All right. Earlier in the week, I had an opportunity to catch up with the coach of El Tri, the Mexican national team coach, Juan Carlos Osorio. Well, Juan Carlos, you know, I look at your schedule with you got two friendlies coming up, Croatia and Ireland, and ultimately, you'll get to Houston here June 28th against Ghana. Confederations Cup, Gold Cup, qualifiers. How do you keep this all together?
Well, I think you see, it is a very challenging situation. However, that's the way it is. We have to fulfill all the Mexican Federation commitment, and obviously also the two qualifying games, which are the most important games for us, and then the Confederations Cup. But the way we decide to do it is we have a list of 32 players, and for the first two, for the friendlies, and for the two friendlies against Croatia and Ireland, and then for the two qualifiers against Honduras and U.S. And the second group, and the same group will go for the Confederations Cup. And we have a second group made up of, the second best, made up of players with less experience, players that are either starting this year and or other players that are not frequently part of the squad that represents the national team. So basically, we divided into big groups, and hopefully, we'll have enough depth in the two squads for us to have a good representation in both tournaments.
Juan Carlos, obviously, us being here in Houston with Kubo Torres playing for the Houston Dynamo, does he figure into the plans, and what are your thoughts on Kubo at this moment?
Well, I think, we think that it says a lot about him. First of all, we all know that he had to adjust to the MLS, is something that I have mentioned in the past. It's a very athletic league, and at first it was difficult for him, like it is for everybody. But now that he has scored 8 goals in 9 games, and he's a very influential player, it only makes us believe that he's good for Mexican football, and we consider him as an important player, and we are keeping an eye on him, and hopefully he will be in one of the 2 squads that will represent Mexico in the next busy summer.
Mexican coach Juan Carlos Osorio, we're very pleased to have him joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Anytime you put out a roster, I kind of feel for you because, you know, you're going to get criticized no matter what. I think that's just a fact. Is that because just so much depth when it comes to the choices you have to make for the Mexican national team, the depth of players that you have?
I think it's a matter of how you want to look at it. This is a country made up of more than 120 million potential coaches. So they all have their own list and their own questions. So we, the coaching staff, understand that that's part of the job that we are in. And we understand that that's the way it is. So we just try to be fair with everybody. We try and we do analyze every single game. Every weekend, we go to 6, 7, 8 different games between the 5 of us and the coaching staff. And we have a way to analyze the games. We compare our comments and our analysis of the games, and then we decide on the players. After that, it's just a matter of taking the way it is. So, like you said in your question, we'll be criticized no matter what. And we understand that's part of the business, that's part of this job. And just like I said before, I just try to be fair and honest with everybody.
Juan Carlos, I marvel at your career. And I know it going all the way back to Southern Connecticut State, Major League Soccer, Manchester City, Puebla, Atletico Nacional, Sao Paulo. I mean, we're talking about very big clubs here that you have managed. Did all of this prepare you for the pressure in Mexico? Because as a human being can only take so much. How do you handle that pressure that you get in Mexico?
Very good question. First of all, and I hope I don't hurt anybody, but I don't watch any television programs, or I don't read any paper. I don't follow any TV program with pundits and experts, so-called experts. Mm-hmm. I just concentrate on my task at hand. I watch between 10 and 15 games a week. I train every other day in the morning, first thing in the morning. I like to watch football. I call it football retro or soccer retro, which means Ajax and the Dutch national team from 74, 78. I go back and watch a lot of the Champions League finals since, you know, the time that Milan versus Barcelona with Johan Cruyff and Capello and all those top coaches. And I try to learn, try to revise all those games and try to concentrate on what I have to do rather than trying to understand why and how the criticism comes from. And I read a lot about leadership. I spend a lot of time in watching other top managers. Not that I am, you know, watching the top managers in the football world, Ferguson, Guardiola, Simeone, Bielsa, Ancelotti, all those top coaches, and watch the press conferences and try to learn from them, as opposed to spending time listening to the critics.
Juan Carlos Osorio, this is a special moment here on ESPN 97.5, getting the man who is in charge of Mexico. Just a reminder, Juan Carlos Osorio is 13-1-2 with Mexico since 2016. So it's pretty remarkable. And you know, Juan Carlos, you have a lot of fans here in the United States because of all the time you've spent here.
You mean me personally?
Yes, you personally. You do. You have a lot of people that are rooting for you because a lot of people are going to say Juan Carlos Osorio is a part of the American system. You know, we're going to kind of claim you.
I didn't know that, but now that you mention it, I can only be very thankful to you. And I used to say that I try to work as hard as I can to be recognized as a top, you know, as a good trainer, good coach, make my family proud, made my country proud of our job. But now that you mentioned them, I have one more motivation, and it's to represent you all that.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, it may not be quite as high on the day the U.S. plays Mexico, but I think at the other time periods, I think it's excellent. I want to take you into the rotation policy that you believe in, and what are the advantages of the rotation policy and really using the breadth and the depth of your roster and your players?
I think that's an excellent question. To start with, I would say that goes back to my roots in England and United States, where all the collective sports, the team sports, like American football, even baseball, basketball, volleyball, and this is a sport that my favorite sport to watch is rugby. They all rotate the squad. They all believe in rotation. Now, I need to say that the first person that introduced me to that was Mr. Ferguson. And I think if there is one man that knows about competitiveness, about generating a healthy, competitive work environment, he has to be Ferguson. He rebuilt Man United through 25 years and won plenty of trophies, and always under that philosophy that you have to rotate the squad, you have to give the players the opportunity to compete for the position. So there is no automatic position, and there is nobody falling into the comfort zone. And if there is, you will have to pay for that attitude, with a C, attitude, no aptitude. And ever since I heard that from Ferguson, from Mr. Ferguson himself, back in 2001, when I went to England and worked for Manchester City, and asked him to allow me to watch the training sessions, then he really put a mark on my career.
Yeah, it's fascinating the influences you've had, Juan Carlos. And again, I mentioned that you're 13-1-2 with Mexico. It's unbelievable. And you still get criticized at times because of the rotation policy. I want to take you back to the Chile game in Copa Centenario. It's a big loss. It was one that got everybody stirred up. And my understanding, I read somewhere that you went on a little bit of a sabbatical, and you went and met one of your mentors, Marcelo Bielsa, the former Argentina coach. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I think when you are in a winning streak, everything is fine and well. And we were winning. We were favorites to many people. We were doing really well. And then it came the loss. And I think when that happened, that made me realize that I do have a lot to learn. So I look for help on one or two top managers that are A, I admire, and B, have gone through a similar situation, and nobody better than Marcelo Bielsa. You remember him with Argentina, one of the best teams in Korea and Japan. He didn't succeed. And the 5 days that I spent with him was a tremendous positive experience for me. I exchanged a lot of ideas with him. I learned a lot. And there is a very famous writer in Argentina, Jorge Luis Borges. And he wrote once that the humble defeat has the humility that the noisy victory doesn't deserve. And I think that sets it all. When you lose and you are magnanimous in defeat, then there is a great chance for learning. If you don't learn from the defeat, then I think the arrogance takes over, and that's a recipe for defeat and for stoutness. So I think that I learned a lot from the games that we have won at club level and with the national team. That if I have to give you just one game that I learned the most, I think that was that defeat.
Juan Carlos Osorio joining us. Juan, we'll ask you one more question. We'll let you go. We really thank you so much for coming on the program and really sharing a lot of this wonderful information. I have to think that you're proud of a couple of your compatriots here in the U.S. Wilmer Cabrera here in Houston, Oscar Perea in Dallas are guys that you know very well and you know from Major League Soccer. And I must say that all of you as Colombian coaches are doing so well. I would have to think that you're very proud to seeing them get real opportunity in Major League Soccer and take advantage of it.
Yes, I am. I think Wilmer and Oscar are doing a terrific job. I can only congratulate them. And I am very proud of the very good job that they are doing, both at the club, and hopefully they will continue doing so.
Well, thank you very much, Juan Carlos. We do appreciate it. Best of luck in your future with Mexico. A lot of people have really watched your career that has just continued to blossom. And thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Once again, Mr. Davis, thank you very much for your words. And hopefully we'll continue on learning and growing, and hopefully we'll make proud all of you that believe in our job.
Thank you. Juan Carlos Osorio, Mexican national team coach. What a great moment there to catch up with him on everything Mexico. Fascinating interview there with Mexican national team coach Juan Carlos Osorio. Now, a quick word here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal attorneys. They'll bring you fascinating interview there with Juan Carlos Osorio, the Mexican national team coach. Right now, a quick word here to remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. Get out on a patio, post up at the pool, or come out and watch soccer live. But most importantly, grab your friends and an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5 every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And a word here, a place you can get a Bud Light. Get over to the King's Court. It's in Edo, right next to the stadium, 903 Hutchins, 13 TVs at King's Court. King's Court is 24 taps, a full bar, extensive selection of spirits, plus wonderful pub food. Get over to King's Court. I hang out there after Dynamo games. You can go there pre and post with El Batallón, the great supporters group. It's a good time. It's fun. Visit the rooftop deck and patio. You want to get up for the game, that's the place to go. King's Court, right next to BBVA Compass Stadium. Say hello to Jay at King's Court, kingscourttexas.com. Second hour coming up, interview with Liverpool legend Steve Nichol.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.